Hi, everyone. I'm James Spinelli, founder and CEO of Great Valley Advisor Group. GVA is a leading technology-driven, full-service, registered investment advisor. GVA partners with select independent financial advisors to provide customized technology, investment strategies, compliance, and back-office solutions. This podcast will provide answers to common questions that are asked by advisors throughout the transition process by interviewing experienced individuals who have benefited from their transition to independence. Welcome to the GVA Way. Hi, I'm James Spinelli, founder and CEO of Great Valley Advisor Group, and this is episode number 20 of the GVA Way. I'm here with Eric Howe, who is the newest addition to the GVA team within the asset management arm here. And Eric, how are you doing today?
Very good. Thanks for having me. Very cool setup. First time doing a podcast. My mom always said I had a face for radio, so this is perfect setup.
Perfect setup, right? And you know, you've got a little bit of a unique background and one that we're going to get into here in a second. But one of the big things or big drivers for why you've joined the team is around, you know, private markets, alternatives, better educating the advisors when it comes to using these types of products within the portfolio for clients. So before we get started, why don't we talk about kind of your work experience and your background in that space and, you know, the decision to join GVA and really assist the advisors with this.
Perfect. Yeah. Well, thanks for having me. Personal life, I grew up outside of Boston, much to the chagrin of some of my Philadelphia neighbors here. Mm-hmm. Was a son of a firefighter, passed away in the line of duty about 20 years ago. My mom still worked for the church. I have three brothers all in finance, so we're basically a family of finance people. Slowly migrated from Boston down to Providence College. After Providence College, moved to New York City for 15 years. Moved down here to Berwyn to have my third child with my wife. We still currently reside here. And loving life. We've got three little boys. It's chaos, but all good.
But all good. And so at Credit Suisse, what was the focus? Like, how did they really get a passion for this? Tell us about how.
College, graduated with a degree in finance, so I always knew I wanted to kind of go into the Wall Street type business.
Sure.
It was the year after 9/11, so it was a little bit different of an environment. But I was able to land a role at Credit Suisse, and for the majority of my career, I stayed at Credit Suisse. Started on the institutional sales and trading desk and the convertible ARB team.
Yep.
Dealing with a bunch of hedge fund clients coming into the firm. 2006, I joined what is our internal prop group, internal hedge fund. It was a multi-manager type setup with 15, 16 different strategies. I was an execution trader for them, starting with capital structure arbitrage, long short equity, vol ARB, convertible ARB, just really across the board, stat ARB. In 2012, after the crisis, kind of moved towards portfolio management in convertible ARBs.
Got it.
2014, we kind of had a shift in the group. We moved towards quant trading. That's really where I took off as a senior portfolio manager, index arbitrage. We had a $4 billion book, led to an event-driven book strategy that was a $100 million book. 2017, the world kind of changed. Our group spun out. We went to Hong Kong and Europe. I stayed here in Berwyn with my family and started Sire Capital. Yep. And Sire Capital was a different shift outside of the alternative product, serving high net worth individuals.
Yep.
So overall, my entire career has been institutional, alternative, high net worth. And it's kind of the perfect experience overall to come to GVA. So we're going to be dealing with institutional, with fund managers. I'm going to be creating an alternative product for the alternate high net worth space.
Yeah, and so I think that's a good, I'm gonna refer to it as a melting pot, right? I mean, I feel like, yep, it's kind of like a melting pot of those three avenues coming together from what the feedback is that we've been receiving as an organization from our advisors saying, hey, we need some assistance. We have clients that are coming to us asking about private funds, asking about, right, alternatives, right?
Right?
And there is a whole process for the due diligence of these.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you wanna make sure that they're suitable for the right clients and, the overall mindset of what you're looking at, you have to be 100% sure of that product, right? You don't want to put the client into,
right,
something that,
right,
you know, is not appropriate,
right?
So that 60-40 equity bond split is now looking more like 60-20-20. And we're hearing that more and more, right? So for the purpose of the podcast, because obviously this is something in the future, it has not been launched yet. We're still going through due diligence and building it. We'll talk about that a little bit.
Correct.
We'll just refer to it as the GVA private fund.
Sure.
Right? We'll just call it the GVA private fund. So take us through what the GVA private fund high level looks like, right? What just give us some details here.
Yeah. To the general audience,
yeah,
there are different strategies, different assets that you can go into. They range from collectibles and art. I mean, you can classify Pokemon as an alternative investment.
Interesting.
You can classify art. You have private equity, you have commodities, you have private credit, you have cryptocurrencies, you have real estate, you have infrastructure, you have hedge funds.
Yep.
Name a few. What's cool about the product is that over time, it has a low correlation to public markets. So, you know, there's theories why it actually has a lower correlation, less mark to market, it's less liquid, you're not seeing the whole see-through. But overall, it is what it is. And what you are seeing now is family offices, institutions, endowment plans. You mentioned the 60-40 portfolio. They are more 60-30-10.
Okay.
With the 30 being alternatives.
Wow.
Instead of the 10 being, you know, short-term treasury-type instruments. So as a read-across to our firm, GVA parent company, high-net-worth individuals aren't going into alternative products. The range is anywhere from zero, not looking at them at all, to 5%. And there's two kind of issues around that, why you're not really seeing the uptake in the alternate high-net-worth space versus the institutional space. And it kind of lies with the advisor and the client. So we were speaking the other day, you know, as an example, mm-hmm. Sammy Spinelli, you know, James's alternative ego,
yeah.
has a great business, has a $500,000 account,
yeah.
net worth over $1 million. He's a credit investor. He calls James, his advisor, to say, I'd like to put 10% of my wealth into alternatives. James now has $50,000 that he needs to go out and invest for his client.
Sure.
The issue really lies at 503 funds, you need to be a qualified purchaser. Minimum investment, $5 million. 501 funds, which are all private funds, most have a initial investment of $1 million. We've now had this new push towards 40 Act funds that was really created for mutual funds, but is now being able to use private products. Minimum investment, $25,000.
Yep.
So James's advisor now has $50,000 to go out and invest in alternatives. You only have, if there's $25,000 minimum, you can choose two funds,
right?
From the advisor's point of view, he has to do the due diligence on 1,000 funds to make the decision on two funds for you. It becomes complex. He needs to make the decision of, is it the right time to go into private equity and private credit?
Sure.
Right? And he decides to put you into those two funds. Your money is locked up 7 to 10 years, right? So once that decision is made, you're illiquid. So this is why, you know, I think overall you bring me into GBA to try and bridge that gap between high net worth not taking part and family offices, endowments taking part for 40%. We're not going to push the 40%, but it would be great to have, you know, a 60-30-10 portfolio, 50-30-20 portfolio with our high net worth people going in for 10 or 20%.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think when we say kind of going into that fund, the process that goes through the due diligence. So if we were to kind of peel a layer back and dive into what you could possibly see within the fund itself that we're referring to here, you know, no details, no names, nothing there. Just saying, what would be the avenues that you see appropriate to be put within here? Just, you know, as a starting point when you're having these conversations, because I go by the office, your door's shut all the time and you're on the call talking to, you know, fund companies. So, you know, what are some of those that you would find within the sleeve, I guess is the best way to put it.
GVA is obviously a large IRA, right? So not many IRAs have the ability to create an internal product inside of the company.
True.
Cost, right? GBA, as a whole, we've made the business decision to create a 1940 Act tender fund.
Mm-hmm.
The 1940 Act was really created for mutual funds. This will mimic a mutual fund. However, it won't have daily liquidity like a mutual fund. So it's called semi-liquid.
Okay.
Something I want to stop and stress on the whole semi-liquid thing is we don't want this to be a tradable product for our clients. We want the clients coming in with the old mindset of the old mutual fund mantra, 7531, 7-year investment timeline, 5 assets under inside of your allocation. Prepare for 3 roadblocks, 3 obstacles, 3 macro events that may happen, and 1% of capital increase per year just to stay up with your allocation. So even though quarterly we will be offering tender offers of up to 5% of the fund, we want this to be used as advisors coming in or clients coming in to trim their positions to maintain portfolio balance, mm-hmm. so to trim gains, or life events. We don't want this to look at as a tradable product. So back to that mantra as well, we have 5 assets. So when you go back to Sammy Spinelli trying to go into the $50,000 picking 2 funds, what we're gonna have is, because it's a tender fund, we will have a sleeve in the fund. We'll call them sleeves. So it's gonna be one parent fund, but we're gonna have other sleeves underneath for investments. And one sleeve will be liquidity. It'll be money market, short-term floating rates,
mm-hmm.
In the event that we do have a tender offer. And then we're gonna have 3 main buckets. 35%, 35%, 25%, or 20%. And it'll range depending on where we think things
are going. There'll be a drift that will happen there.
Each bucket, the first 35% will be private equity, private credit, venture funds. Second bucket, 35%, will be real estate infrastructure. And the final piece will be hedge funds. And how that's going to look in our fund at a broad level will be the first investment in each one of those layers is going to be another semi-liquid fund, up to 40%. So we're going to have a 40% fund that's either fully liquid or semi-liquid. Mm-hmm. Underneath that is where the reason my door's been closed is that we've been creating relationships with LPs and GPs that have special...
Stop there. LP?
Yep, LP, GP, limited partner, general partner.
Got it.
It's a traditional setup for a private fund. Not that is not registered yet. So it's just you have limited partners that come in and invest in the fund. General partner is the manager of the fund. And so limited partner, investor, general partner, manager.
Manager, understood. So sounds like you've set up some great relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Before we kind of wrap this up, because we've talked about what's in the sleeve,
yep.
how you're thinking about it, go forward plan, what's the ideal timeline that you see this private fund being available within the GBA network for the advisors?
So what we're looking for is a timeline that will be sufficient that we can offer a product sometime at the end of spring next year. With the government closed right now, we may be a few weeks behind with the SEC not approving prospectus, you know, memorandums. But overall, what I want to kind of get the point across on here is that we want to create a product that the advisor can't do in the public market. So when we go back to the LPGP level, we want to partner with people that have a niche strategy. So they're going to be just dedicated to one type of strategy, whether it be private credit, mezzanine loans, hedge funds. So
yeah.
Things that just as a broad level, like if your advisor's not a PhD or medical doctor,
mm-hmm.
if you want to invest in biotechs, we should be doing it professionally through a fund that is managed by a PhD
Correct.
In pharmacology. If you want to invest in energy products that aren't Exxon and Chevron, that you want to invest in pipelines or private deals that are going in, we should have somebody that is running a fund that used to be the chairman of, you know, Exxon or one of the bigger companies. I think the biggest opportunity that, you know, everybody in the market talks about AI, right? AI. There has been tremendous gains, right? You have to talk to your advisor on this, but there's a second derivative to that. And it's something that's a little more sticky, I'll call it. With the Fed cutting rate, quantitative tightening is now over. Chances are we're going back into quantitative easing and lowering rates.
Mm-hmm.
So the fear now becomes inflation. And all with that, with the AI trade, you're going to see the build out that needs to happen for infrastructure, right? And I think that's kind of where we're going in the next 10 years. There's going to be $10 billion of investments going that way. You'll get value add and value add for real estate, but also the inflation protection for real estate. So I think there's a lot of cool things that are happening in the next 6-8 months in the alternative space that we can incorporate in with specialized partners that are being part of the fund.
Got it. And I'm looking forward to seeing how, you know, you incorporate those into the fund, how you work with the rest of the asset management team, because they're focused on, you know, public markets, and then you have this private markets component, which really rounds out the portfolios that we have in-house that are available to the advisors and that they're utilizing today. And I, you know, last time I checked with Eric Parnell, and I'll give two Erics in the asset management team, it makes life a little difficult, but last time I started with Eric Parnell, I know that they were, you know, closely approaching the $2 billion mark in AUM, and which is really exciting. And I think with having you now part of the team, that's only gonna, you know, keep accelerating as we bring more insights and more, you know, specialty and opportunities for our advisors, for their clients, because that is the goal of GBA, and that is really the GBA way, you know, hence the podcast that we're on today.
Absolutely.
So let's stop with the business talk. We have a couple seconds here. Yourself, three boys, outside of being a director of asset management within GBA, what do you enjoy doing besides Little League Baseball? I know we are on the field together every now and then, so.
Yep. There was a great comment on LinkedIn, you know, what for the people at home want to check it out. They said I was a better coach than James, so just putting that out there. Overall, eighth grader, sixth grader, second grader.
Yeah.
Weekends are shot. You know, the best time that we have is my kids go to the shore for the summer. And, you know, just being able to take yourself out of the Tuesday night practice, Thursday night practice, Saturday and Sunday, and just have your kids go to the beach, watch them surf, have a beer on the beach, and just relax. It is amazing, right? Having a large family, you know, rally behind us, GBA, I mean, you're growing a large family, you know, a big work family. So it kind of incorporates back and forth. During the work year, though, it's work and practice, as you know.
Yeah.
You know, weekends, every now and then, I like to sneak out and try and play golf. With the keyword of try, I like to go out and have fun. Get to play some pretty cool courses in the Philadelphia area.
Yep.
So it's never a bad day when you're out on the golf course.
Definitely not. And I think, it's one of those things where, you know, going to the beach in the summer that's always really nice to be able to go down there and watch the kids on the beach and, you know, have a beer or hang out. So at the end of the day, this was great. This is a really, really good opportunity, I believe, for the firm, for the advisors, and quite frankly, for the network. And we're going to be putting more material out there as we continue to grow this. We do have our upcoming conference, although I believe this podcast will be published after that. So we'll talk about it at the conference.
That's part of the, I know we're wrapping up real quick here, but I think that's part of the positive of the timeline to get this thing to launch, is that I will have the time to not only do the due diligence on the LPs and GPs and the funds that we're going to be investing in, but also to be able to go out and talk to all the advisors, do teach-ins with the clients if they want to, because at the end of the day, we need them to be 100% comfortable in what they're going to be investing in. This is a longevity trade. It's a 5-7 year trade. Risk rewards are there.
100%.
Opportunity is there. Our public markets are shrinking. I think over the last two decades, public markets have shrunk 40%.
Yep.
So the opportunity is in the private space. And I think that's where we're pushing towards. Look forward to meeting all the advisors and the clients in the coming future.
Absolutely. Well, we'll leave it at that. Thank you for being on the GBA Way for episode number 20. That's a wrap.
Thank you very much.
The opinions voiced in this podcast are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriate qualified professional prior to making a decision.